My name is Seymour Hamilton in Chelsea, Quebec, and I'm talking with Alaric Bond in Hurstmonceaux, England. We both have books published by Fireship Press in Tucson, Arizona, USA, which specializes in writing about the great days of sail. Alaric Bond is the author of The Patriot's Fate, which is number 5 in his Fighting Sail series about life in British Navy at the time of Nelson. If you have already discovered Alaric's gripping novels, you'll know that he takes the unusual approach of having no single hero, either in the individual books or in the series. So let me begin, Alaric, by asking, what made you decide to write novels with no hero, or if you like, many heroes, unlike, say, C.S. Forrester's series of novels that take the famous Horatio Hornblower from midshipman to admiral?
It was really a question of it had been done before. The hero who became an admiral became a sort of standard format in historical naval fiction, so much so that I wanted to break away from it, and that was my initial feeling, was to do that. In fact, I found a lot of advantages in doing it. I found I could make a far more realistic story, and I wasn't so dependent on one central character. I could then, well, I could kill people. People could be promoted, people could be demoted, they could leave the Navy. It was far more an accurate representation of the time.
How did you research that?
I had to obviously research every aspect of the Royal Navy, from the third class volunteer to through the warrant officers and petty officers, commissioned officers, Marines. You have to get a far more general feel for the Navy than just sticking to either the midshipman's berth or the wardroom or the captain's cabin.
Was there an HMS Pandora and an HMS Scylla?
There was a Scylla later. There was a Pandora. It's not about that particular ship. The Pandora was basically a jackass frigate, which was a light frigate. Scylla is a representation of a slightly more powerful frigate. They represent a class of ship, but they are shown at battles when obviously they weren't really there. They were observers, if you like, at places like St. Vincent, that sort of thing. They didn't exist and don't take any sort of major part in the action. They more report on what's going on.
How long have you been at this? I mean, you must have started writing or planning to write quite a long time ago in order to have this kind of familiarity with the Georgian Navy.
I've always been fascinated by the Georgian Navy since I was a very small child. We went around HMS Victory when I was about 5 years old, and I fell over the plate on the quarterdeck when Nelson fell. Nelson initially, because obviously he's the chap everyone is drawn towards, he's a charismatic figure, but latterly there's other important people like Duncan who have fascinated me as well. I began writing the series about 15 years ago, and the first book came out about 5-6 years ago. I'd written 2 books before the first one was actually taken.
What was the hardest part of that? What kept you going when you knew that you were taking a fresh approach?
I was doing it because I wanted to, and that sounds crazy, but
sounds like a good idea.
all my life in writing, I've always written for an editor or a producer or occasionally a director. I've always had a market in mind, and usually a commission or at least some chance of being published. But with a novel, when your first novel, nobody wants it. No one needs it. You're not out there. So you have got that greater sense of freedom, as much as you can do what you want to do and really enjoy doing it. And then, I mean, now I'm working on my 6th book, and it's more of an established thing. And though I still enjoy doing it, I've got more of a commitment now. But initially, it was something I was just enjoying doing. I'm sure also, I don't know about you, but a lot of people around here, I was 8 years writing before I was even published. In some ways, that's the sort of thing you go through, isn't it? And then you actually get to doing what you actually want to do, if you like. There's a determination with writing that you have to keep on doing it even though no one is interested or no one's buying your work. That sounds a bit negative, but I think you write because you want to, and you sound pretentious, but because you must.
You obviously have fun at it. You don't create characters that are as strong, and so many of them, unless you are feeling that you're really meeting them.
Sure, yeah.
Were there any authors then and now who wrote about the days of sail who particularly interest you?
It began with C.S. Forrester. He will always be the daddy as far as I'm concerned. People have come along since, obviously, Patrick O'Brien as the most prominent. But C.S. Forrester, for me, because, okay, we're back to central characters again, because his central character was so fascinating and so fallible, there is an immediate draw there, and you know he's going to get through, he won't get wounded and all that sort of thing. But he is a fascinating character to follow, and C.S. Forrester writes so well. He was a very good writer. He wrote in other fields as well, and he was always very, very good.
You've mentioned other authors, more modern authors, Montserrat, The Cruel Sea, and Wyndham.
Wyndham was science fiction, but he was a very good writer. Montserrat was an exceptionally good writer, not just for nautical novels. He wrote two very good African novels, and anything he wrote up until about 1960 was absolutely brilliant, very, very accessible.
Yeah, I particularly like The Ship That Died of Shame.
Made a very good film as well, didn't it? Lovely concept. I didn't think his short stories, other than that one, worked terribly well, but that was very, very good. The Cruel Sea, obviously, is excellent. Three Corvettes, when he was writing those because he wanted to record what was going on, and it comes over so well. He wasn't a well-known writer in those days. He was hardly known at all, and he was very much a naval officer, and he was making a record of what was going on, and they read beautifully.
You also mentioned that you're interested in the Wavy Navy, the RNVR.
Yes.
Might there be a novel out of that?
Yeah, quite likely, yes. I equate the Second World War Wavy Navy, the RNVR, with, in some ways, the Georgian Navy that I write about now. It was very much an amateur navy. I mean, obviously, before the war, it was mainly university or semi-professional sailors were involved in it. But when the war started, people were joining the RNVR, and they were yachtsmen. It was more relaxed, if you like. They wore scarves and very much amateur seamen, and took to the Navy through a different route, if you like. And a lot of them ended up with commands and doing very, very well indeed. But there was that essence of the British seamen in the RNVR, which I don't think was quite so obvious in the Royal Navy, which was much more structured.
The modern Navy is a very different thing.
The Navy between the Second World War and now is more different than the Navy in the Georgian period to the Second World War. It has changed so much. We have fewer ships than admirals. The discipline has changed dramatically, and there's health and safety aspects and things like that. It is a very, very, very different force.
Hmm.
Have you read Roger Payne's book? Roger's a fireship author, and he was a commander in the Royal Navy. I think he left about 1980. And that's interesting, because that's very much the Navy in transition from the Second World War to the more modern force we have now. And he was one of the last officers to experience a reasonable number of ships and being able to travel reasonable distances and show the flag, as it were, whereas now we have far, far fewer vessels.
What are you reading now?
I'm usually reading about five books at once. I've just finished Hell Round the Horn by Rick Spillman, who writes about the windjammers at the turn of the 19th, 20th century. I'm reading English Social History, brushing up my current project, which is about the smugglers on the south coast of England in the beginning of the 1800s. I've just started Linda Collinson's Barbados Bound. Linda writes a fireship, but she writes from a feminine angle. She has a heroine who is a cross-dressing medical officer, a surgeon's mate. When I'm writing, I have about eight or nine books around my office open with little yellow post-it notes in them, and I couldn't say how many books I'm reading, because I'm literally reading them all at once and referring to them all the time.
I don't know how you do that. I have to go and wrap a cold towel around my head and not listen to anybody else. I think that's almost a necessity to be a contract writer, isn't it?
Yeah.
It certainly is for me. What haven't I asked that you'd like to talk about?
I would like to say that I think we're very lucky at the moment, certainly as far as historical nautical fiction. There's a lot of people writing, and a lot of them are very, very good indeed. And those who are writing have a lot of backup from some very good non-fiction writers mm-hmm. who write entertainingly. I've got certain favourite historians from the past, Michael Lewis, people like that, who write very, very well. Nowadays, we've got people like Byron Lavery, Sam Willis, Roy and Leslie Adkins, of course, who are fantastic as far as bringing the past alive. And reading their work, it's very hard not to become inspired.
We're also lucky in having lived into the era of the print-on-demand book, where people are prepared to take a risk with first-time writers.
Oh, yes, and Kindle. You can get your own Kindle up in minutes. You can get out there. I was 8 years before I was even published, and that certainly, you do improve what you're doing, but being read and talking to your readers and that, then you can really hone things properly and respond to what people are looking for. And it's much easier now, certainly, yes.
Yes, and once you've made the connection, it's your connection. It's not filtered through a publisher, a publisher's agent, an agent, a blah, 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 and many, many desks before it gets to you.
Mm, that's right, yes.
We're lucky, you're right. Oh, I forgot to ask you. Talk for a moment about your website. How did you come to set one up?
I have no talent as far as computers are concerned. They confuse me and baffle me. It's a tool I use. I'm very lucky that David Hayes, who runs his own website and forum for historical naval fiction, he has taken over my website for me and runs it for me beautifully and puts up blogs and manages it and makes suggestions. And I'm very lucky that he does that for me. He does a splendid job.
I have David Hayes to thank for finding Fireship.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I actually found Fireship through his website, because one of the contributors to his forum mentioned them, and then I went through and found, because they were giving away books, and to a writer, that is a wonderful attraction. And I found myself talking to Tom Grunder, saying, you know, would you be interested in sending a book to someone in England? And then I told him that I was a writer myself, and he actually took me from there onwards. So I'm grateful to Tom, to David, for the passage of how it happened. It was rather fortuitous.
Yes, I call Tom Grundner the best friend I never met.
Likewise. It was very strange when he died, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
I'd never spoken to him. I'd never shaken his hand. I mean, I relied on him so much, and I felt so close to him. And I've only ever seen one picture of him. And yet, you know, you had this feeling with the chat from his emails and the comments and things. I felt so, it was very, I think we're the first generation to mourn people we've never met.
On rather a sad note to finish, except that it's also one of tremendous gratitude for his existence and the way that he pulled us into print, both of us.
Indeed, yes.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you've had as much fun as I have.
Yeah, I hope that was okay. I've not done this before, you can tell, I'm sure. Thank you very much indeed. Take care.
If you would like to know more about Alaric Bond and his novels, visit his website at alaricbond.com. There you'll find information about his Fighting Sail series of 5 books, His Majesty's Ship, The Jackass Frigate, True Colors, Cut and Run, and The Patriot's Fate. I'm Seymour Hamilton, and if you go to my website, astraeatrilogy.com, you can read about my nautical fantasy, The Astraea Trilogy, which is composed of The Voyage South, The Men of the Sea, and The Wanderer's Curse. At fireshippress.com, you can find and purchase our novels, as well as many other fiction and non-fiction books about the sea and sailing ship. Thank you for listening to this interview, conducted in February 2012 via Skype.